Soul Speak Living in Color, where we talk about inspirations, following your dreams, and what lights your fire. I'm your host, Sam Filia, Rainbow and Thunder voiceover. You can find me at samfiliavo.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Soul Speak Living in Color. Today we have the lovely Jalen Terry, and he's going to be talking to us about game development, video game development. He's currently working on a video game called The Grand Adventures of Mr. Raccoon, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a side scroller. He's going to put it out on PC and then hopefully on console so we can all get an awesome taste of this gameplay. You'll be hearing yours truly as a couple of characters. That's super exciting.
Yeah. Oh, we're all excited for that.
Right? So Jalen has been in the process of creating this game for, at this point, over a year now. And we're going to talk about a little bit about his process and what he's been going through, how he came up with the idea, how he manages it. Because we all know we're super busy millennials, right? We're just going through day one, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, usually. So he posts all of his progress, a lot of the pictures that he does. He's doing everything. You guys, like, he's doing all the design, he's doing the gameplay, the animation, all of this by himself. The only help that I know so far that he's having is voice talent. So that takes a lot of skill and talent, you guys. You can watch his progress on Instagram. And of course, by the time this episode comes out, he may already have some other accounts like Twitter and maybe a website open. So look for the update in the blog if that's the case. You can find him on Instagram at lunar_worm, W-Y-R-M _productions. And that will be a direct link in the blog as well. So you can conveniently just click on it.
Boom.
So without further ado, Jalen, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad to finally meet you. We've been talking for a whole year. Ever since he asked me to come on board, we've just become awesome friends. It has been great. So how have you been?
I've been all right. I've been good. You know what I mean?
Been a good year despite all the bullshit.
Yeah, for the most part. You know, I had my little twinks and troubles here and there, but slid right through, you know. Just gotta wing it.
Hey, don't we all? So let's go ahead and dive into it. Tell me about the development so far.
Yeah, so the development is going pretty good as of currently. You know, at first when I started, I'm like, dude, like, shit, man, I don't know what to do. But just tweaking with it, messing with it, having fun, it's getting to the process to where it's not me just learning the basics, but it's me making a prototype of how things may look. And then I'm going to go to a second prototype, where you will actually be able to play like a level, and then we're going to make a demo, throw it out there, see what people think about it. And then once we release a demo and get some feedback, start developing the whole thing. So
that's awesome. And as we speak, it's the end of November. It's actually Thanksgiving Day that we're recording this. So by the time this comes out, probably in January, he'll be a little further along and you guys will be able to see, hopefully, a little bit about what he's talking about, the second prototype.
Yeah.
So how did you get into game development? How did you start?
It's a funny story. So when I was like, I think I was four or three, I've always just like been into video games. You know, I played like the NES, PlayStation 2. I never had an Xbox, and people are going to get on my ass for that. But I've been a good, you know, I love video games, seen Tomb Raider, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, all of that. And ever since I was little, I'm always just making my stories, had a wild imagination, me and my sisters. It was like, we weren't playing dolls, we were playing our own video game, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it just kind of stuck with me. And it just kept going and growing. And I said, hey, maybe I want to be a game designer one day.
It sounds like you're well on your way. So how did you, like, I know you're doing this all on your own, which is incredible. Like, how did you learn how to do it?
It's Honestly, it took like just, I'm not even gonna lie to you, it's years of just finding different little softwares, programs, materials, and just kind of building on upon that. So with me being like a game designer, like looking at how levels would be designed, I used to play, what's it called, Spore. I don't know if you know what that is. And I'm like, oh, you can make your own levels. So I got like a messed up PC and started running that, started making little levels and trinkets there. And then I heard Little Big Planet was a thing. So I'm like, oh, I love that game. Let's go get it. So shit you not, I cried just to get a PS3, just to get Little Big Planet. And my dad was like, oh man, you're stressing me out. And that's like the first time I've ever successfully saved any money to get something. So I got it. And I played that thing from 24/7. I would stay up all night just making levels when I was 11, around that age.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was really fun. I think my parents just really never gave a shit either. and so like I make levels until 11 o'clock in the morning, fall asleep, wake up like at 7 or 8, eat dinner, and I'm back at it. And it just kind of moved on to like, you know, doing Little Big Planet and keep it going. And then I did a coding class in high school, which I kind of learned a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, forgot most of it, but but remember the basics. So I know what's going on. And that, just those little things that you start learning and seeing that all these games and little things you learn all have a connection to it. Like you'll see it. And it's just basically like learning the program and then translating what you learn into how that program works. And then you test it out and you're like, oh, okay. So this is kind of like translating like English and Spanish, or, you know, French and German.
Yeah, like it's like learning a whole new language. And it's great that you started so early, because, you know, if you don't know anything about it and you start in your like 20s or 30s, it's a lot harder to learn about it.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's, yeah. I can't.
It's... Well, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you right now?
Ask anything. I'm an open book. I'm 21. I might not look like it. I might not sound like it. But I mean, yeah.
So you said you're 21?
Yeah.
That's incredible. This is something that you've known that you've been wanting to do your whole life, is game development and video games.
Yeah, it's either that or I was going to be a coder or like an artist of some sort. Probably artist, and then if not a coder, because they make a bunch of money, but I'd be miserable. So
but it sounds like you've combined it all into one.
Yeah, so I say, hey, I'll take it.
Nice. So how'd you come up with the idea for The Grand Adventures of Mr. Raccoon?
So throughout my years, I've been making stories, right? Just like bullshitting around and just grabbing one story, recycling that, and making another story, recycling that, taking the good ideas from that, and then leaving the bad ideas. And then sometimes I look at the bad ideas and bring them into good ideas. And The Grand Adventures, it kind of sparked because me and my ex, we would kind of have like this story time thing every night. And so I'm like, okay, let's make up stories. So we'd make up stories. I would make up stories. She just listened to them, really. And she'd like throw her inputs here and there. And sometimes she'd fall asleep to it. But it was called, it was at first called Raccoon and Panda, is what it was going to be. It was going to be, you know, Mr. Raccoon, which is the main character, and the panda. And so Mr. Raccoon would be this bad guy who goes into the city to take, you know, out somebody. And he was seen to the city as a really bad person. And this panda would be the princess of this. And he would be taking her, but she's willing to go because she was trapped in this castle. But people think he kidnapped her, you know? And it's just like this whole mess of him being like a villain and seen as a different perspective. And then we, after that story, we made 4 more installments of Raccoon and Panda. And then we kind of like got into a fight and we split up. So I'm like, okay, well, I mean, she was portrayed as a panda. I don't really want to release something like, hey, that's my ex, guys. You know, that's based off my ex. I don't want to do that. So, you know, I'm thinking about a new story. I'm like, what if we had other things? What if I made my own thing? What if it was like there were orcs and there were humans and there were all these fantasy creatures? There's aliens. There's things that you never known that existed. And just throw them all into one story. Kind of relate it to real life and how some people live, you know, from other countries that were super rich and things are perfect. You know, we think, you know, that other countries are super perfect and they have their quirks. And, you know, you got third world countries that, you know, they live and they're happy with what they got, you know, but, you know, we don't see that in other countries. And I kind of wanted to make it how every country has their own rules. So in The Grand Adventures of Mr. Raccoon, every land that you go to has their own rules and their own kind and their mixes and what kind of military they have, what kind of portrays they see, you know, that would be different from others. So I wanted to add that in there. It just kind of built upon all that.
That's awesome. So it's kind of like writing a book. You got to write out, you got to figure out what your plot is, what events are going to happen, what your story, your main character is about.
Yeah.
I imagine that took a lot of work and probably a really long time to come up with what you're doing.
Just getting that idea and just seeing what one thing has, like one land has, and then what this land has, and then what another thing is. And one of the lands, I'm going to see if I can try not to spoil too much, but it's like, like I said, there's aliens, right? So there's beings that you never even knew existed. And then there's reasons why maybe you can't see a different color. Like, hey, they can see these kinds of colors. And, you know, to you, even one of the characters explains like, hey, you guys call it magic, but it's actually just science you guys don't even know existed. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like magic to you because you can't explain it, but it's not.
Complex. Magic. Nice. So when exactly did you start putting this idea of your side scroller into reality?
I think I want to say maybe like a year and a half ago, because I know once me and my ex broke up, I was really wanting to just kind of focus on myself, you know, and I'm like, you know what, I want to get my life together. I want to get this ball rolling. I am 19 going to 20 at the time. So I'm like, you know what, let's go. And I started doing small little concept arts and then started making small little scripts and then making characters that might seem cool, you know, just like stocking up the stockpile. And then now it's like getting finalized, like, that character was a good idea, but you know, not really.
So you eventually learn that, you know, the character you were going to put in there just doesn't fit.
Yeah, it's like, you know, no, maybe next time.
But maybe the next game.
Maybe the next game. Maybe the next one, but he's on timeout right now.
Right. So when are you expecting to come out with the game or just the first demo?
So I'm trying to shoot for at least the first demo was, well, back then I wanted to get a demo out by December, like late December. Me messing with Game Maker, you know, through the software I'm making, it was going to be pretty simple to where it was just, hey, it's a side scroller, you shoot, you run, you go through these levels and learn, you know, the story. But then I started really getting into Game Maker. Hey, well, let's add currency. Let's add different weapons. Let's add superpowers. Let's add, you know, skill points and tiers. Let's add these shops. Let's add different characters. You know, let's do a little bit more with it to make it more interesting. So I'm like, with that being said, I might need more time for that. And I want it to be really good and polished. So I'm shooting for a demo in maybe early February. And I'm hoping to see, like, if people do love this demo, to get the game out by late April, early May.
That's going to be awesome. I love that you're doing extra stuff because when you told me about the game in March, it was super exciting to even be approached to do a character as a newbie voice artist. So I was like, heck yeah, let's do it. And then you started telling me it's actually a really interesting game. And I love that we can see your progress going on it. I've always, every time I go on Instagram, there's usually like at least one post a week or two posts a week from you, and just showing the progress. And I just get so excited for it.
Dude, yeah, I'm like, oh so man, colorful. It's I'm trying to mess with the colors on that. And I'm like, when I was looking for voice actors, because like at first I was just going to do like text boxes and stuff. And then I'm like, some people don't like to read. I'm not going to lie to you. I skip through the text boxes. I'm like, if I'm going to skip through the text boxes, no one's going to know the story, right? So I'm like, let's look on Instagram, see if we can find some voice actors. And then, I came across you. I'm like, wow, really good. Let me just approach her before she gets like too famous and then just like shrugs me off. Like, hey, do you want a voice act? I guess. I guess so.
So who are some other voice actors that you've approached to do this?
So I think his name is Tim Heller. I think I want to say that's his last name. He's supposed to be doing some characters too. I'm me, myself, supposed to be doing some. And then I know there's like a lot of friends that I have and stuff. And they're like, you don't need voice actors. You got me. And I'm like... Well, I do, but at the same time, it's like...
I want it to be good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want it to be good. Like, I'm not that good myself, but I'm going to try to. But, like, I got an official voice actor. And I don't mind spending extra money on this project, so...
Quality, right?
Exactly, quality. I don't... You know what I mean? Like, it's going to... The most I'm going to get from them is, like, a phone recording. Gonna hear background music, you're gonna hear babies crying, and it's like, yeah, I definitely want to hear that.
That's gonna be hard to take out.
Yeah, most definitely. Extra work. So,
oh man, okay. So, I know that you've been through a lot of rough patches, which has delayed some of the production this year. We won't get into all of the stuff that's been going on, but how do you manage to keep working on it and staying positive about the process while you're juggling multiple jobs and health stuff and all of this stuff that's been going on this year?
Yeah. And also, I said, I'm an open book. Don't be scared to ask me anything. I'm fine with that. But
well, this is public. That's why I say
that. Oh, that's why. No, you're fine. But just juggling the two jobs and my health issues and stuff is, it's not too bad. And I know it delayed the project to where it could have been now, where I could actually maybe release a demo by January. But like for the most part, it's going okay. It just takes a lot of communication, a lot of thought, being, smart, thinking on your feet. Sometimes, working the weekends. And me personally, I like doing two jobs because it's like you get your full income, you get your 40 hours. Both of my jobs, you can work on the weekends. So if you need any extra cash, just hopping on the weekends. They're really understanding. I actually have two different kinds of health. I have like an autoimmune disorder. Something's going on with my heart. I can't really be that physical. It sucks. I'm like super hyper all the time. So
is it like hypothyroid?
That's what we're thinking about. It might be that, but like I guess it's actually been a year since I was like having these issues, and the doctor's like, oh yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm like, okay, well, as far as we know as of now, it's like an autoimmune that's affecting whatever is going on. So, but one of my jobs are physical. She's super understanding and nice and kind of, I appreciate that. And then my other one, which I think many people could really relate to, is depression and anxiety is one of my health issues. I think a lot of us go through it, and it's just about, I feel like it's a lot of it's just like not feeling important. You know what I mean? You just want to feel kind of important just about anything, It's kind of hard to explain because everybody goes through different situations. Me personally, it was just always being lied to, having trust issues, and always having to go out there on my own. And I mean, for the most part, I'm kind of thankful for it because it's like, I'm living by myself now. I'm taking care of myself. But at the same time, it's like I still struggle with it today, so I'm not perfect.
I think that's a very relatable topic for a lot of people. especially nowadays. It is ramped since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And
good Lord.
I think a lot of people feel the same way, not feeling important, especially in their 20s, not feeling productive enough, not doing enough, not following their dreams on doing what they want to do. A lot of us got a super expensive college degree.
Yeah.
And we're working at McDonald's, Burger King,
right? You
know, low wage retail. And that's a pretty big hit to your mental health. But I think it's super inspiring when you can say that you are doing something that you've always wanted to do ever since you were a little kid.
Yeah.
You're juggling it with two or three other jobs just to make ends meet. You're being independent, taking care of yourself, and you still find time to do the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
Feed yourself, to sleep, and hopefully sleep.
Sometimes.
But my point is, it's a fast-paced life right now.
Yeah.
And we're all doing the best that we can. We're all making the best out of it. And when you can say that you're juggling all these things and you're still staying positive about having a slow process on the thing that you really want to do the most, I think that's very inspirational to a lot of people who are trying to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And I think the key thing that's probably like the most solvable, not really solvable, but it's like with depression and anxiety, you want to be important. So you try to fit in. That's what I always try to do. I try to fit in every single time. It seemed like my father wasn't really too much of a sport for me because I wasn't really like, I guess, per se, my color. I'm a little different. And, my mom, she ended up having three other daughters. So her attention were on them. So I was just kind of in the boat by myself. And I always seen me just trying to have this different persona. I'm always doing this. I'm always doing that. And I realized that it's not the fact that I'm, I have friends. Yeah, I'm doing this. Yeah, I'm doing that. This person's happy, but I'm not really happy. And it just came down to the point to where it was just be yourself. You know, you're trying to be this persona that you're not, and you don't have time to shine as who you are, you're scared of people not liking you for who you are. So you put on this different face, and that right there is key. And, you just gotta let that go. Even, it's just, you want true love. You don't just want love,
Right.
You want to be yourself, and you're scared people won't like you. So yeah, if anything, I'd say be yourself. The people who are loving you will be there. There's always going to be something, There's always going to
be. You can't be tamping down your spirit and saying, I am being myself.
Right, exactly. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie. That's terrible. Don't
just
lie.
Just be honest. What have you got to hide, right?
Yeah.
Who cares if you go, if you dance under the moonlight at 2 a.m.?
Right.
Be weird. We love it.
Be weird. Be yourself. We like that.
It's more interesting than just blending in.
Yeah, don't blend in. Be a stick out like a sore thumb, but hide in the bushes.
Right.
I gotta work on that quote, but it's somewhere in there. Somewhere in there.
Be a cactus in a field of tulips.
There you go. That's better. I think take that one. I need to work on my quotes.
I don't know if being a cactus in a field of tulips would be a great thing, but people might say you're prickly. Who cares?
Hey, it's a good prickly, right? Right.
Boundaries. That is the metaphor for that quote.
Oh, man. I love it.
So do you have any other hobbies or passions that you work on?
I'm trying to think. Because it's like, I love, drawing. I do concept art. Sometimes I just draw for fun. Game making, that's my thing. I'm trying to learn a little bit more, but I know, because you already know video games. I'm making one, right? So I play it, mm-hmm. I'm not good at them, per se. I'm trying to think, maybe, because I used to do YouTube a while back. I started when I was, 14, 15, and I just started playing video games, having fun, then making tutorials, which I suck at. I actually still got make one. But yeah, I just video making, video game playing. I want to get into cars. I just ended up getting my car. I just actually just got my license. I'm not even, thank you. and I know it sounds funny. I live in a huge city, so getting your cars, you got the bus, you know what I mean?
Car is important sometimes. It's like,
it is. It really is. Like you can ride the bus, but it sucks, you know, especially through the winter. So I got me a car. Yeah, exactly. And it was really hard. I really had nobody to really test drive with, you know? So I ended up doing it through a Gator downtown. I don't know if you know what those are. It's like, let me see. It's a four wheel, smaller kind of vehicle that maybe, I think sometimes you see like construction workers drive them around and stuff like that.
Are you talking about the little four wheel looking things?
Yeah. Yeah.
You bought a Gator as a vehicle?
See, luckily I didn't buy them because those things are expensive. But my job had one. And they're like, you know what? Since you can't walk, you want to take this downtown? I'm like, I'll do it. And so that was me working and also learning how to drive at the same time. And people don't know how to drive downtown. So people listening or watching this, don't recommend it. Don't do it. Unless you have good health insurance, don't do it.
But you're in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
I cannot
imagine driving in that city.
Don't get it with your Lyft.
It's like driving in Atlanta or Houston. Sucks so bad.
It's terrible. The traffic, I don't even want to go out there around like 3 o'clock. I just got my car. I'm getting out. Like, hey, you want to drive over here? Like, and it's downtown too, so you got to pay for parking. And I'm like, that could go to the gas tank, man. You know, $50 a month for that. But I mean, for the most part, it's not too bad. Just, if I were you, I'd recommend driving late, 6 o'clock at night.
Driving an empty parking lot, that's how you learn.
See, boom, there you go. Empty parking lot first.
I learned on back dirt roads, but
I wish I could do that. That was my plan. They're like, you want me to take you to the back road? Because I usually I was driving with my stepdad. He has a huge pickup truck. Yeah. It sucked. I actually broke down not too long when I was practicing driving it. He's like, hey, you want to go to the back roads? I'm like, hell yeah, dude. Let's do it. So he takes me out of the parking lot and we switch seats. He's like, all right, let's do it. I'm like, this is the main road right here. He's like, yeah, we're going to go to the residential or residential. And so we're driving and we go to the residential and I'm like, this isn't the back roads. What is this? This car's everywhere. He's like, yeah. Yeah, this is you practicing, man. And I'm like, no. And what made it worse is that he freaked out at every little thing. Oh, there's a car over there. I'm like, dude, let me concentrate, man. You're going to make me hit the car on accident. And make a hit on purpose. Good Lord. So, I mean, but we went through it. It wasn't fun per se, but it's fun when you get your own license and you can do whatever you want. You don't got to worry about.
So what kind of car did you get?
Yeah, 2005 Buick Century. It needed some fixing, so I actually fixed it up with my dad. So it runs pretty good for the most part. I bought it from my area manager, or I guess my friend, for $500. So pretty good deal, I'd say.
I think so.
Yeah, I'd say so. Something like that, almost, maybe.
Can you believe that car is over 15 years old?
That's what I'm saying. The car is old.
I'm thinking about, yeah, that's a pretty new car that I thought about it. Oh wait,
it's like 2021, right? Isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes you just forget, you feel like you're in 2015.
Yeah, my first car was a silver 1995 Nissan Sentra. It was as old as I was.
Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, I'm glad that I got a crappy car at the beginning because it broke down on me. It stopped working after